Harrisburg, Pennsylvania will file for bankruptcy. Are more municipal bankruptcies on the way?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll talk to one manufacturer who claims he wants to hire workers but can't find anyone with the right skills. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow up 55 points, about a half percent at 11,471. The Nasdaq up about 1% right now, and the S&P 500 about 0.7% higher at the moment. The United Auto Workers Union has reached a new labor deal with Chrysler for the company's 26,000 hourly employees. The contract promises 2,100 new jobs and $4.5 billion towards investment in vehicle production. It's Chrysler's first labor contract since it emerged from bankruptcy 2 years ago. And speaking of bankruptcy, let's get to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which says it is going to file for bankruptcy protection. Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics joins us now live from New York, as he does every Wednesday, to talk about this. Hi, Josh.
Good morning.
So how significant is this, and are more bankruptcies like this for cities and states on the way?
I think what Harrisburg has in common with some other municipalities is that a lot of them have taken on these massive projects that in 2007 maybe were good ideas, but right now they just can't pay for. So it's significant for those types of parts of the country.
Who gets hurt by a municipal bankruptcy?
A lot of people do. First of all, the creditors get asked to take a haircut. Secondly, taxpayers are asked to kick in more. In Harrisburg, for example, they're already proposing a possible 1% sales tax. So it's not a pleasure cruise for anyone involved.
So maybe some higher taxes down the road. Are other places around the country that are sort of teetering, are those really likely to be affected by a bankruptcy in a place like Harrisburg, Pennsylvania?
Absolutely. It makes municipal bonds harder to insure. It makes creditors demand a higher rate to lend them money. So if you look at a place like Illinois, for example, it's a very big concern. Illinois, the average family's share of the state's debt is $78,000. So you've got these kind of issues scattered around the country.
Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics, thanks so much, as always.
Thank you.
Well, it's not often these days that Republicans and Democrats can agree on big economic issues, but today is likely to be an exception. Three long-delayed free trade deals with South Korea, Colombia, and Panama are expected to pass the House and the Senate. The pact with South Korea would be the biggest trade deal since NAFTA 16 years ago. Here's our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale.
The White House says the Korean deal will mean some $11 billion in new U.S. exports every year and will create or save 70,000 jobs. Since Korea has little agriculture, American farmers are looking for some new customers for everything from poultry to peanuts.
They eat a lot of pork.
Mary Nelson is vice president of Kemin Industries, which sells ingredients to Iowa pork farmers. She expects that lower tariffs on all kinds of meat will mean more exports, even though U.S. pork still won't be the cheapest on global markets.
I think U.S. pork is good pork. I think it's one of the best quality pork, and they like good pork.
Koreans also have a taste for U.S. dairy products. Cheesemakers are looking for a 50% increase in exports. And Koreans are hoping to sell more steel to American construction companies and semiconductors for American computers. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations, Reputation.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
It's sort of unbelievable to hear this when the unemployment rate in this country is as high as it is, but almost 80% of American manufacturers are having trouble finding skilled workers for their factories. That's according to the latest study from the Manufacturing Institute. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner talked to one manufacturer who's trying to tackle that talent gap himself.
Jeff Kelly is CEO of Hamel Manufacturing in Trafford, Pennsylvania. His dad started the company in 1952, machining and welding metal parts, mostly for Navy submarines and aircraft carriers.
We actually started with the Nautilus, which was the very first nuclear submarine.
Kelly's company still makes parts for Navy ships. He employs about 130 people, but his baby boomer employees are retiring, and he can't find enough workers to take their place. Manufacturing, Kelly says, has an image problem.
Dull, unexciting, boring, maybe difficult.
Dirty and dangerous, too. But nowadays, this ain't your grandfather's factory, Kelly says. Most manufacturing floors are small, clean, and computerized. Kelly tells kids that when he scours local high schools for future employees.
We start looking at kids when they're in the ninth grade. We talk to the teachers, and we find out who's a potential young person that would come into our business.
For Kelly's company, that means kids who aced trigonometry and have good spatial acuity and mechanical skills. Emily DeRocco, president of the Manufacturing Institute, argues this talent shortage has serious implications.
We cannot sustain as a nation a strong economy if we don't continue to be a nation that makes things.
CEO Jeff Kelly is training 10 young apprentices right now, a refreshing addition to his aging workforce. The average age in manufacturing, around 45. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally to General Mills, which has been working for years to reduce the sugar content of its kids' cereals from around 15 grams per serving down to 10. The company makes Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Trix, and
Chocolate Lucky Charms!
They're magically delicious!
Well, maybe they're not as magically delicious without the sugar. A top General Mills official told the Wall Street Journal that if the company cuts the sugar content anymore, nobody will want to eat what's left behind. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Anopheles finestis, a humble mosquito, the most efficient and costly carrier of malaria that there is.
Malaria consistently costs the subcontinent of Africa over $40 billion a year because one out of four members of the workforce is absent due to malaria.
I'm Kai Rizdal, changing the world one dead mosquito at a time. It's next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.